Hey, everybody. This is Charles Max Wood with the Teach Me to Code podcast. It's been a few weeks since I posted stuff. It's not for lack of interviews or anything. It was really, I had Thanksgiving and just couldn't get stuff out then. And then the following week, I was sick pretty much all week. So I didn't bother with it. I just went and crawled in my bed and wished to come out of it on the other end alive. So anyway, I got my wish. I'm alive. And we're going to post another interview from ApacheCon. This is an interview, rather short one, with Bhaskar Sunkara and Pranta Das from AppDynamics. And we talked about some of the programming and engineering that goes into something like AppDynamics, which is basically a monitoring software. And we talked about instrumenting the JVM and things like that. And just some other interesting and... it really made me think about the way that you approach some of the things that you're dealing with. So, anyway, check it out. Let me know what you think, and we'll catch you on the other end. Thanks. All right, so I'm here with Bhaskar and Pranta from AppDynamics, and I talked to Pranta yesterday about their product, and what it is it's a monitoring tool that hooks into Java applications and gives you all kinds of statistics and stuff related to that. Is that basically it in a nutshell? Is there more to it than that? Or
yeah, absolutely. I'd probably add a couple more attributes that it's really meant for distributed applications and it's really meant for usage and production. So those are the key things that I would mention.
Okay.
On top of that.
So it's basically aimed at Java applications. Does it do other technologies?
It does .NET as well.
Okay.
Absolutely. So
My question is, this is a podcast for developers, so I typically will talk about tools they can use and things like that, and it sounds like
sure.
This is something that will give them some input as far as like where trouble spots occur and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm really curious about with this application is basically how do you hook into their code
mm-hmm.
so that you can get the information out?
Cool. Yeah, really good question to start with. So we use what is called bytecode instrumentation, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a standard technology that's really a part of the JVM spec. So
okay.
ever since 1.5, there's a hook in the JVM arguments which lets you inject what's called a Java agent. And what a Java agent gets to do is it gets access to all the bytecode or the classes
mm-hmm.
that are loaded in the JVM, and if we think the classes are interesting, we get to modify them.
Okay.
There are definitely some rules, like no structural changes, things like that, and we add safe bytecode,
mm-hmm.
Basically like probes before and after
right.
methods to kind of help with that. So that's how it works.
Well, that makes sense. Is there a good place to find out how to do this kind of thing with the JVM or?
Well, yeah, absolutely. There's, if you just search for the minus Java agent argument,
mm-hmm.
or even if you look up the JavaLang instrument package from the Java docs,
okay.
1.5 and up, you'll find information there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end, you have a server that is collecting the data, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you use a standard protocol or a standard data representation
mm-hmm.
for that, like JSON or something, or...?
Yeah, so so the transport protocol is HTTP
mm-hmm.
between the agents that are
right.
sitting inside the JVM to what we call the controller, which is
okay.
the data engine, we for performance reasons we just use binary over HTTP.
Okay,
just Java objects and over HTTP. Yeah.
Okay, so it just serializes it to some
it
sort
just
of
serializes it to some sort of yeah.
Okay, and then on the other end, it knows that Java object is of class whatever and
yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the monitoring data model we have.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just performance metrics representing. Our system, the core of our system is business transactions,
mm-hmm.
right? And business transactions, they're representing functionality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of really basing it more on classes and methods and hey, so how much is this class? This method taking and stuff like that, we focus really more on a higher level of alarm, right? Which is the business transaction, which tells you how your functionality is doing.
Okay.
And so yeah, the data that goes back and forth is really descriptions of that,
mm-hmm.
or it could be more things like it could be events,
just right.
Depicting a point in time about something like a request timing out or something.
Right.
So basically, do your customers set the rules as far as what they care about, what's important, how things are behaving, and things like that? Or do you have a standard set of things that they're looking for?
It's standard, that's actually a very key thing for us, where we take the time people spend in setting the system up. We take that responsibility to kind of do that automatically.
Okay.
And I think, doing business transactions is kind of what makes it possible, because it's functionality, and when you access functionality over time, you can use various attributes like time of day, time of week, etc., mm-hmm. to determine how they're doing. And then, based on that, you can set thresholds based on standard deviation and,
right.
various other statistical, mm-hmm. Measures. To really say, okay, this isn't doing so well, so let me, mm-hmm. Alert, or let me do something there.
Right.
So it's mostly reliant on our out-of-the-box policies. Yeah.
Okay.
But to your point, we try to do as much as out-of-the-box as possible, but we don't preclude mm-hmm. the customer customizing something if need be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of both.
Right. So how does that, if you're interested, say, in a particular set of information that isn't a standard thing, do you just set up rules within the...
Yeah, I mean, if there's a non-standard thing and it's being instrumented, for example, like if it's a batch process, for example, uh-huh. right? If it's instrumented, then, there are metrics being reported on it. Well, for a batch process, we would do it automatically. But if there were anything else that you were doing, like as a special case, mm-hmm. then you'd set up the policy for it.
Okay, and that's done on the controller?
That's on the controller. It has an interface that's flex-based, uh-huh. flash-based, and that lets you set up all that stuff.
Okay. My next question is are there limitations to what you can gather on the agent end?
When you say limitations, what
exactly, so, for example, are there bits of information that some people want that you just can't get because the agent is limited in some way, or the library that you're using to interface with the JVM is limited in some way?
We haven't seen very many cases, especially stuff dealing with data needed for production monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty comprehensive, so we've been pretty good with that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about the JVM and the way that it works with things like this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm not surprised that you haven't run into too many of those.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what is the hardest part of building a system like this?
Yeah, the hardest part of building a system like this is really what we're building it for and who mm-hmm. we're building it for. I mean, if you think about it, our target segment is really people running really mission-critical apps
mm-hmm.
in production.
Right.
And, when you say mission-critical apps in production and you are agents running inside the JVMs of those mission-critical apps,
mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of responsibility in terms of, you can't really afford to make mistakes because,
right.
That's their app. And it's not a peripheral application that, you can afford to have some downtime in, make some mistakes and things
right.
like that. So that's the biggest challenge because mm-hmm. that's what we cater to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just needs multiple layers of defense and, the way you mm-hmm. architect it, the way you... and not just, in terms of, running with the application in a reasonable way, but also overhead, for example, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you're
right.
just imparting too much overhead and the users actually, the response times, the user's experience is much worse, right? I mean,
right.
and it doesn't really, it kind of defeats mm-hmm. the purpose because you're really, really wanting to have better performance with us in play,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's
right.
that's really the challenge.
So how do you guarantee that? I mean, do you write tests? Do you have performance mm-hmm. tests that you set up?
Yeah, it's a combination. I think testing is obviously a very big part of it. And then obviously just basic things in your architecture that you mm-hmm. make sure that the way you code in terms of a lot of it is just really solid good coding practices
mm-hmm.
and the way you write infrastructure, the way you, like, for example, you would never start all your threads are pooled, things like that. So
right.
a lot of best practices, and on top of that testing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, testing on different JVMs, testing on different versions, testing on different application servers, because it's a lot of times, you use a lot of APIs to collect diagnostic data.
Right.
And a lot of times it's just interplay,
mm-hmm.
right, between those two. So you want to make sure you are safe in all situations. Mm-hmm. So that's I think the other big challenge is, you know, especially today's distributed world, you just have a lot of JVMs. You know, applications are really, you know, spread out. You know, there's a bunch of services,
right?
And you just have hundreds and hundreds of JVMs, right? Mm-hmm. So providing a scalable solution, not just in terms of a solution that can handle the data coming in from all these agents, right? Mm-hmm. But also in terms of how do you use it?
Right.
It's just a lot of data,
yeah.
Right? And you don't want to look at, you know, all the data just because you want to look at information. You mm-hmm. want to look at, you know, how things are doing and, you know, want to get into the details, into mm-hmm. the weeds when there are problems, right?
Right.
You don't want to start with, you know, for example, a lot of deep dive data when there are no issues, for example, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's not
right.
the way you want to monitor your system.
Right, you just want to look at it and say, okay, everything's green, everything's
yeah,
good, right?
Yeah. So, so
how do you handle that? I mean, let's say that you have a cluster of, mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw a number out there, mm-hmm. like 100 servers, and they're all sending data back.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you have to have a cluster of servers of some size to handle all that data.
Mm-hmm.
I highly doubt that you could handle with just one server that much coming in. So how do you handle that? And then on the flip side, how do you boil that down into interesting information?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the really interesting numbers, to your point, is a single controller is able to handle almost 5,000 to 6,000 JVMs.
Oh wow!
So that pretty much covers, you know, most of the architectures, and it's really in terms of the way we architected it,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the agents, you know, being smart,
right?
What the agents don't do is dump everything they need to, you know, send over. They're very agile in terms of, you know, they're watching for problems and transactions,
mm-hmm.
You know, on a minute by minute basis.
Right.
So that's how quickly they react. But the data they're sending every minute is representative of, you know, how the health of the transactions is. Because
mm-hmm.
that is really what is defining how your system is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So once we set that up, you know, once we define what is the health of the system, right? That's
mm-hmm.
the problem. So we kind of separated out monitoring and diagnostics,
right?
Because sending, for example, all the deep dive data of all the classes and the methods, that's not monitoring.
Right.
It's when you need to troubleshoot
okay.
that you need it. So we cleanly separated it out, and
mm-hmm.
the reason why our system is so scalable is because of that, right? And you know, it's been really popular amongst the, you know, so all of our deployments, they're all really mission critical,
mm-hmm.
You know, deployments for really large shops. So
right.
and it's worked really well because it not only scales the system, but also scales the way you use it. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
throw all the data at you.
That's really interesting. I think most of the systems that I've used in one way or another, they just have this set of data that they send
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Exactly.
And
which is the brute force
right.
approach
of doing
right.
it.
Right. It's everything, and it all goes up. And so what you're saying is that, you know, if everything's good,
mm-hmm.
then you only need a baseline of information.
Exactly.
And then when a problem's detected,
mm-hmm.
then you start sending more information so
yep.
that you can start debugging and
yeah.
filling in the holes of
yeah.
your information.
And then there's more to it, right? I mean, not only, you know, do you detect a problem and send information, but, I mean, think about what happens when you have a systemic problem in production,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's really the worst time to collect data. Because
yeah.
you're really killing the system at that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So detecting
right, it's trying to catch up.
It's trying to catch up, and you know you don't want to actually collect data. I mean, you know, the system's running at high CPU, high disk
mm-hmm.
usage, this and that, and you know there's high load on the system at that point,
right?
And you want to take up more CPU cycles and collecting all the data and sending all the data. That
mm-hmm.
that just makes it worse,
right?
So just having the realization that okay, so you know I think we know that, you know, this problem is systemic. We've already collected enough information. It's the same symptom, you
mm-hmm.
know, and we don't need to send more data. Let's be quiet for a while, maybe kick
mm-hmm.
in, you know, half an hour later, because we don't want to adversely affect it again.
Right.
Those are the factors that, you
mm-hmm.
know, and to your point about, like, you know, the kind of tools that you've really heard about. I think what's happened with those tools usually is they've started out as a, you know, as a QA dev test type
mm-hmm.
of tools, right? And then they retrofit themselves to be like running in production, for example.
Right.
And at some point they architecturally break down because they're not
mm-hmm.
really architected to be running in these situations. Whereas we, from the ground up, we just took a different approach to it, and we just stuck with it, and you know, and it's the really scalable way to manage.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I guess my next question is: let's say that you have a service-oriented architecture where everything's kind of broken up and running in its own environment on its own JVM, and let's say that I'm really interested in the sale that comes in over in this area, and then what happens is it has to touch all these other systems in order to get its job done. So how do you get the high-level view of this one purchase when you have a problem out here in one of the other services that you're trying to hit?
Exactly. I think it all comes back to you know, what I said was the core of our system, which is a business transaction, right? Because a business transaction starts at a, you know, at a tier, which is, say, you know, the entry point for the whole SOA system,
right?
But when it touches other systems, when it makes a different, you know, when it sends a JMS message, for example, or when it makes a web service call to another JVM, what we do is we tag and follow the transaction, because because the transaction is fundamentally distributed, right? And we need to know how the service oriented system is actually doing in terms of performing, in terms of like really executing that transaction. You know, where it could be potential bottlenecks. Because the definition of a transaction can be just limited to, hey, so this is how much time, you know, a process order is taking.
Right.
But you also need to know what is the breakdown of process order, right?
Right.
If I have five SOA tiers, if I have five SOA components, how is each one performing in terms of executing process order? So we always break that down. We baseline that behavior. That way, you know, you can isolate bottlenecks, you know, much quicker.
Right.
So yeah.
So if they're connecting to one of the other servers via HTTP or something else, how exactly do you do that tagging?
Yeah, so it really is based on the protocol that they're talking to. So if they're making an HTTP call, then we'll make sort of a, you know, add HTTP header, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, or if you're calling you know, using JMS, and then we add a header to the JMS message.
Okay.
So that's how the tag and follow works, and it's all automatic. You don't have to change code. So again, using VCI there. So that's how that works.
Are there any protocols that you don't support that way?
Well, you know, I think, you know, our list is pretty exhaustive, but obviously new ones keep coming up, and we keep up as fast as we can, but our support's pretty comprehensive right now. So
Yeah, it's just this week, just being at ApacheCon, I mean, I live in a pretty Ruby-centric world for my work and with my clients and things. And so it's really kind of challenged the way that I think about things and open things up like this. And so it's interesting to see that these solutions exist and consider how they may apply in other areas. And so, you know, I really appreciate you guys coming on. I know we've only talked for about 17 minutes, but, It's really been interesting. If people want to find out about your product, how do they do that?
Yeah, so appdynamics.com. You know, very importantly, we have a free product. And it's free forever. It's not like a time-bound thing. So you can download it, and any Java application you have, you can run it on it. It'll probably take you like 10 or 15 minutes. We have about 50,000 or so downloads. We introduced this last year. And so that's at appdynamics.com/free. So that's the best place to find us, and also on Twitter.com appdynamics, really active there. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, from the website, and then there's a free tool that you can download and use, and that will pretty much give you a taste of what the tool is like.
Okay.
Yeah.
One other thing that just occurred to me, and since we're at ApacheCon, what open source software are you using as part of your solution?
Some of the core Apache libraries, like, I mean, for example, the agents talk to the controller using HTTP client, for example. So the most usual ones, I mean, the most common Apache ones. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Are you doing any kind of like MapReduce or anything to get the data munched up or anything?
No. Yeah. It's regular databases right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is it based on a database that we as lay people have heard of, or
it's MySQL.
MySQL.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, really interesting. So one other thing that I want to clarify in, and this was when I was talking to you guys down at the booth. This is something that people deploy in their own data centers.
Right.
Yeah, so the controller is actually available both as an on-premise option as well as hosted. So we do both. There's a lot of people who are uncomfortable sending, you know, be it performance data, right, to external data centers. So for them, we have the on-premise option, and then we also have the hosted option for that. Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
And we'll have this up within the next few weeks.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All right, welcome back. I just want to thank Bhaskar and Pranta for coming onto the podcast and talking about what they do and what's going on there. If you want to check out their company, you can find it at appdynamics.com. I got like 3 of their t-shirts because they were getting rid of them at the end of the conference. And it was really interesting to talk to them. By all means, go check them out. As well, just some of the interesting things that went on there. I just really appreciate them kind of sharing some of their secret sauce with us on the podcast. So if you want to thank them, go to appdynamics.com and just let them know that you appreciated them coming on the podcast and doing the interview. And next week, we will have another interview from ApacheCon. And in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll actually have an interview with Peter Ledbrook from VMware talking about Groovy and Grails, and that was a really interesting podcast, so a really interesting interview, so look forward to that as well. That's all I have for this week, and we will catch you next week.